Council, we're gonna go ahead and start with our council meeting is Tuesday, July 16th, 2018, at 7:01 PM here at the Hillsborough Community Center. We are going to start with a pledge that I believe in, and the people of council are ready to go. So everyone will be ready. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Our Father in heaven, thank you for this opportunity we have this evening to gather for our city council meeting. We're thankful for our city and for the wonderful people that live here and help to create this wonderful community. That will be guiding our decisions and make our choices for the city, and that we will be able to do things that will help the city progress and be able to save you, Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen.
So we have Councilmember Bailey joining us via phone today. We are going to need an approval of the meeting's agenda.
I move that we approve the meeting's agenda.
Okay, I have a motion made by Councilmember Anderson, second by Councilmember Ellsworth, all those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed?
I can't.
All right, so we will move on to item number three, which is our public comment portion of the meeting.
Feel free to unmute it when you need to say something.
Anybody here to speak during public comment?
Sounds good.
Okay, we will go ahead and close that portion then and move on to city reports and business, starting with Mr. Goodman.
Yep. We wanted to report that golf had their highest revenue month, we believe, ever in the history of the course last month. We want to thank you, big thanks to the staff, Greg, Wade, Brian, and Austin for their hard work. We're off to a great start in July. We look forward to the upcoming year. Also in the recreation department, we have had a great t-ball and coach pitch season. Mike had even participated and loved it, and he hates baseball. But it was a great program. We're gearing up for soccer and flag football, and registration for those programs are currently open. We have some other activities that they've been putting on in the community. The bowling league, we had 51 participants this year, so that was a really, really great turnout. And then we've experienced some vandalism on the course in recent days and recent weeks. So we would ask that the residents of Cedar Hills be vigilant and report any nefarious activity that they see on the course. We actually had Councilmember Geddes and his son catch a couple range ball thieves the other day. But it's prevalent throughout the course, not just on the range, but even on the high hillside. So if you see any activity that looks suspicious, please call the American Fork Police Department. Thank you.
Thank you. I don't have an update, Councilmember Anderson.
Yeah, I attended my Central Utah 911 meeting this last week, and they discussed the possibility of hiring a full-time lobbyist to lobby for the interests of Central Utah 911, since sometimes their interests don't necessarily align with the league's interests. So pretty much everyone on the board thought it wasn't financially smart to hire a full-time lobbyist, but the issue came up to hire a lobbyist just for that interest. So we're discussing that, they'll bring it back to the table, so just so everyone's aware.
I'm just curious what happens in an event where they are lobbying something that doesn't align with ULCT and we're paying both lobbyists,
right? And that's something that they brought up as a conflict, so that's something that they have to look
into. Okay. Councilmember
Ellsworth. Nothing.
Councilmember Bailey, do you have any updates?
No, I don't have any updates.
Okay, thank you. So we'll move on to item number six, which is review action and public hearing on an ordinance adjusting the common boundary between the city of Cedar Hills and Pleasant Grove City for the Clark and Van Zandt properties.
Mayor, can I just have Chief Brems introduce himself to the council?
Oh, please.
I'm putting you on the spot.
All right. So happy to be here. My name is, of course, Aaron Brems. We're excited. We moved in July 1st at noon, and we're loving it. The guys are getting settled. You'll always have four, sometimes six guys there around the clock. So we're excited to be here, and let us know if there's anything we can do for you guys. But it's exciting, and glad to be part of the team. So
thank you. It's already in the news. I saw this morning the American Fork Police or the American Fork Fire Department saved some ducklings in Cedar Hills. You got your first
That's why I say you folks.
We are excited to have you. Thank you.
So I have a question for the chief. I heard you're giving tours of the fire station. Do you have to make an appointment? Can you just show up? How do you
so
want to
if
have?
You, either one's great. You can call the phone line or you can just stop in and schedule it. Either way is great. So guys are usually there. If they're not, then, you know, just stop in. You can email Josette as well. So there's multiple ways. So.
Thank you.
Okay, item number six.
Item number six is a boundary adjustment between Pleasant Grove and Cedar Hills. There are two residents of Pleasant Grove that live along Canyon Road that are boundary adjusting into Cedar Hills. The resolutions have been passed for both cities. We have it on our agenda tonight, obviously, as an ordinance item, and Pleasant Grove does as well. Pleasant Grove, I've discussed this with Pleasant Grove, and to my knowledge, I've not seen any indication of any opposition on their end from approving the boundary adjustment. In addition, if you look at the map in the packet, there's a portion of Canyon Road that will also be boundary adjusted into Cedar Hills. That's Canyon Road in that property there. Are there any questions on this?
No, this is what we talked about last time, right? So yeah, I think
it's the same one.
Yeah.
All right, I have to officially open the public hearing for this item. Is there anyone here who wants to speak on this particular item? Okay, we're closing the public hearing then. Council, if there are no questions on this one, I will take a motion.
I will make a motion that we approve ordinance number 7-16-2019A, an ordinance adjusting the common municipal boundary between the city of Cedar Hills and Pleasant Grove City.
Motion made by Councilmember Anderson. Is there a second?
I'll second that.
Seconded by Councilmember Ellsworth. Councilmember Ellsworth.
Aye.
Councilmember Anderson.
Aye.
Councilmember Bailey.
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously. We'll move on to item number 7, which is review action and public hearing on an ordinance amending Title 10, Chapter 5-5, regarding development and required setback areas.
Yeah, the city's been approached by two residents this year about the applying for the development of a pool in their side yard setback. Currently under city code 10-5-5, we only allow pools in the rear setback area, whereas a few homes, and this code only affects a small number of homes. There's not very many homes that could put a pool in their side yard. But there are some that do, and there's a few of those that do desire to put a pool in the side yard setback. Currently pools are only allowed in the rear setback, and they must meet certain distance requirements from the property line and from adjacent homes or dwellings. So the primary concerns for staff in allowing the pools in the side yard setback would be related to the safety of the pool itself and the impact on neighbors. These concerns are mitigated, we fulfill in the proposed code. So we took the code and we are proposing that it read in the side yard setback area in 10-5-5A. It would say private swimming pools and similar uses shall be allowed in a side yard, provided they are located at least 30 feet from any dwelling on an adjoining lot and at least 10 feet from any property line. Corner lots with a side abutting the street, pools shall be not set back not less than 30 feet from the property line that abuts on the street. Swimming pools shall be enclosed within a fence or wall which conforms to international building code requirements. Previously, our code read private swimming pools, tennis courts, and other similar uses as well. In the building department, tennis courts and swimming pools are very different. There's really no opposition to people putting in a cement pad, putting some lines on their yard, but putting in swimming pools is a very different story. According to the international building code requirements, you do have to have a fence, and you do have to have a gate that latches, that self-latches, and self-closes, excuse me. So we want to change this, the side yard setback to require that those pools have to allow the pools to be developed, maintaining the same distance requirements as they have in the rear setback area, but also adopting reference to building code requirements. And removing tennis courts and similar structures, because tennis courts, basketball courts aren't the same as swimming pools. And we don't require removing the pits for cement pads. It's very good. What questions can I answer?
Well, if you know, this is any time that we can give people the right to do more with their property, the better.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I think these are great. I like what the planning commission did. And all that. Right, this came from the planning commission.
Yes, this was the planning commission last week.
Yeah, I like it. It works.
Okay.
All right, I need to open up the public hearing. Is there anybody here who wants to speak during this item? Okay, we'll close the public hearing. Questions from the council? No, I will take a motion.
I will make a motion to approve ordinance number 7-16-2019B, an ordinance amending Cedar Hills Municipal Code 10.55 related to development and setback areas, subject to no changes.
Motion made by Councilmember Ellsworth. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Seconded by Councilmember Anderson. Councilmember Ellsworth.
Aye.
Councilmember Anderson.
Aye.
Councilmember Bailey. Motion passes unanimously. Move on to item number 8, which is a review action on an ordinance amending Title 3, Chapter 1 related to business licensing regulations and certain penalties regarding sexually oriented businesses.
So the next two items are actually housekeeping items with our code as it relates to changes made to the state code in the last legislative session. This proposal would change our sexually oriented business penalty to from a Class B misdemeanor and 6 months in jail to a Class A misdemeanor, also up to a year in jail. This is in congruence with recently passed state code. Pretty much it. That's the only
question.
The only change.
We
have to do this.
Question. What sexually oriented businesses are allowed in Cedar Hills?
We have a pretty strict code on it and pretty strict language on where they can be.
Right. And what are
So state law actually says you cannot zone them out.
Okay.
And state defines what they are. But you can
Regulate the activities at the place of business, and you can regulate where that place of business takes place.
Do we have any place in the city where
I don't believe there's anywhere left that they can be.
We do have a place where it's allowed. It's right now in basically
Walmart's parking lot.
Because we have to provide a location where it is allowed. We cannot zone it out. Okay.
So you can restrict its proximity to schools, churches, homes. And so when you start carving out radius there, you are left with a very small.
So a Walmart parking lot across from one is allowed.
It's long as it's within the distance required as set by state. But again, there's not really a place right now in our city where there's land available to do so. All right. Any other questions from the council? Not, I will take a motion.
I will make a motion that we approve ordinance number 7-16-2019C. An ordinance amending Cedar Hills Municipal Code 3-1 Act related to sexually oriented businesses.
Motion by Councilmember Anderson. Is there a second?
I'll second that.
Seconded by Councilmember Ellsworth. Councilmember Ellsworth.
Aye.
Councilmember Anderson.
Aye.
Councilmember Bailey.
Aye.
The motion is unanimous. We'll move on to item number 9, review action on an ordinance amending Title 1, Chapter 6A related to city manager bond requirements.
So state code changed to requiring the fidelity bond that the cities are required to post for municipal officials. Rather than just having to be a bond, they can also be an insurance policy. House Bill 425 stated that the legislative body of each municipality shall prescribe the amount of a general fidelity bond or theft or crime insurance to be required for the municipal officer. So we do have that through Olympus Insurance. We have public officials' liability, and we also have treasurer's bond in the amount of $500,000. So this is, once again, clerical item to bring our code into agreement with the state.
Questions from the council? I'll make a motion.
I'll make a motion to approve ordinance number 7-16-2019D, an ordinance amending Cedar Hills Municipal Code 1-6A-3 related to bond requirements for the office of city manager.
Motion is made. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Seconded by Councilmember Anderson. Councilmember Ellsworth.
Aye.
Councilmember Anderson.
Aye.
Councilmember Bailey.
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously. Moving on to item 10 is a review action on a resolution adding, amending, or deleting certain fees to the official fees, bonds, and fine schedule of the City of Cedar Hills.
Thank you. So this one has a couple of items I want to bring up. In your packet, you can see which fees are changing. There's a red, indicated by the red number. The red number is the proposed fee. Now, these proposed fees are, especially on the utility amounts, are based on the approved budget that was approved in the last meeting. So they represent about a 6.4% increase in most of the utility fees. Some of them are not changing. So like sewer, city council said basic staff's recommendation that is not changing the sewer fee. Another fee that's changed, we're proposing to change is the no-fault meter reread, which is currently $15, changing that to $30. The reason for that is we don't send one person to a residence hall, we send two individuals. So two individuals needed to go, it's a little bit more expensive, it takes some time. However, if they get to the home, they find that the leak is on the city's side of the meter, we do not charge them. As we kind of consider the residents, the eyes that are watch out for leaks in our system problems. So we're actually very grateful for bringing this to our attention. And we're grateful when they bring their own leaks to their attention. But when it's on their side of the meter, it's kind of their problem. But we do try to help them. And then the last page is our public safety fee. We've never had this section before, but with the incorporation of Grand Forks Fire, and we've been working with Grand Forks Police, we wanted to, we feel like it's necessary to charge residents of Cedar Hills the same rates that American Fork residents are charged for various services that are offered by fire or police. These, we're proposing that these be collected by Cedar Hills and then remitted to American Fork for any. You can see that it goes from inspections to as far as any equipment that's being damaged, could be damaged, permit fees. It could also be for cleanup for on a per hour based. If you have to have firefighters out working on a project that you have an issue with. So if you can, any questions on any of these fees from the public safety? We have two knowledgeable individuals that can answer any questions you may have.
See a false fire alarm, is that, they're not a, is there a false?
No, after the third one.
Yeah, right.
So there actually is a police one we need to add in there as well. So, sorry, it's not even this.
Just start writing you a check same. Now.
So the first two are free. First two are for free, and then after that, there are charges for responding to, and this resets per calendar year, but there are charges that are incurred or passed through to the resident when they continue to have these issues.
This is like the house as well. Alarm system,
yes.
Calls the police or fire.
Yes, okay. Because then you have dispatch sends out the fire engine as well as the police are responding.
Yeah.
So yes, it can become a nuisance. So it's, I think it's to encourage good behavior by setting your alarm properly.
Or placing the very sensitive fire alarms that brings alarms to the go off to kids steaming showers.
So you said we need to add the
police. We need to add the police as well. So
which is the same fee?
Yes, it's the same fee.
And then just to clarify on the utilities, these are coming from the Bowman Pollen study we had done and updated.
Correct.
Okay.
There's a 2016 update, so a new update should probably be on the council's mind in the near future. But yes, it's still following their proposed schedule.
And then garbage and recycling is coming from the increases that waste management is passing along.
Those are passing along as well. So what we're going to do though, in the next, I believe in the first August meeting, is we're going to have a discussion with the city council on kind of the rationale, the breakdown of how we arrive at our utility fees and why they are the way they are and where the money goes. So that is a very good explanation. I know that sometimes when you're in the community, you get questions from residents, and I want you to be able to answer those in a very reasonable way, help them understand as well.
All right, questions from the council? Now I'll take a motion.
I will make a motion that we approve resolution number 7-16-2019A, a resolution adding, amending, or deleting certain fees to the official fees, bonds, and fines schedule of the city of Cedar Hills, Utah.
A motion made by Councilor Anderson. Is there a second?
I'll second that. Could we make note to add the police false fire alarms as well, or false alarms as well?
Yes, and to add police false alarms to that schedule as well.
I'll second that.
All right. Councilmember Ellsworth.
Aye.
Councilmember Anderson.
Aye.
Councilmember Bailey.
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously. We move on to item 11, which is a review action on a resolution supporting the Utah County Good Governance Advisory Board's recommendation to place a change of government question on November 2019 ballot.
So in light of a recent initiative that was filed, many cities are considering passing a resolution encouraging the county to proceed with the Utah County Board of Commissioners, the Good Governance Advisory Board's recommendations that were made. There are six recommendations that I think are worth noting on record, that this board, that the, sorry, the County Good Governance Advisory Board made to the Utah County Commissioners. One was that it supported the change of government to a mayor council form of government. Two, that they strongly encouraged the hiring of a chief administrative officer to aid in the day-to-day management of the county. Three, that they should move expeditiously to hold a special election in November of 2019 seeking voter approval for a change of government. Four was that they should establish a nonpartisan committee to follow up on established federal and state judicial criteria and recommend the geographic boundaries for the five district seats and the other two being at large. And then five, the Utah County Board of Commissioners should establish a compensation committee comprised of volunteers with expertise in the field. And six, that the Utah County Commissioners should seek to educate the Utah County voters on the Mayor Council form of government and how it holds elected officials accountable, improves representation in all areas and the community and within the county, and how the transition will be funded. So Provo passed this resolution last Tuesday night, and this is actually the same resolution that they passed. I shared this with a few other communities around us that are interested in passing this as well.
I'm assuming everyone knows what's going on. Any questions from the council? No, I'm in favor of such a resolution. I think that's a good idea. I think most of them will.
All right, so I'll take a motion. Okay. I will make a motion to approve resolution number 7-16-2019B, supporting a change to Utah County's form of government to the mayor council form.
Motion by Councilmember Ellsworth. Is there a second? I'll second it. Seconded by Councilmember Anderson. Councilmember Ellsworth.
Aye.
Councilmember Anderson. Aye. Councilmember Bailey.
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously. That is the last item on our agenda. I was going to ask for a motion to require Lieutenant Lolo to stay an extra hour and give me a hard time about the length of my meetings, but that would be nice. And ask for a motion to adjourn. I hope that we adjourn.
I second that.
All right. All in favor?
Aye.
Okay. We're adjourned.